You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Coutinho, Jota. Coutinho with pace. And Ruben Neves! That is a gem! My word, what a goal!
All right, that one for Wolves. And I know a few people out there who are part of the Wolves supporters group here in Houston. We just had him on, I think, Paul LePage. Had a lot of fun the last two shows going through a lot of the supporters group's leaders. We're going to bring a whole bunch more in here, and I talked to a number of them at the Houston Soccer Community Banquet for Pediatric Cancer. We're going to get a bunch of them on. Couldn't do it tonight, but we will. By the way, Houston-Sky Blue on Saturday. Go over to HoustonDynamo.com. You can get tickets for that. That's Carly Lloyd coming into town against the Dash. And then on Sunday, also, I have an afternoon game. I'm going to be out in Portland. They're expecting over 20,000 for the NWSL game between Portland Thorns FC and the Chicago Red Stars. Both those teams littered with players that played in the World Cup. A lot of the U.S. stars like Tobin Heath, Lindsey Horan, Kristen Press, on it goes. Julie Ertz. So, big one, Sunday. That's going to be fun. But the crowds out there in Portland, unbelievable. What a soccer market it is. What a passionate market it is. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. We're going to get Victor Ariza on the phone again here shortly to get his take on what's going on down at BBVA Stadium. It is a party, as he mentioned. Game should be underway right now, so we'll get caught up with what's going on with Tigres and Club America. This is the semifinal of the Leagues Cup, which is another one of these tournaments that pit Liga MX against MLS teams. We all know this rivalry, this connection between the leagues is something that's being nurtured. We just had the Champions Cup, which is between the winner of Liga MX and MLS, and Atlanta United came out on top in that one. That was an absolutely fantastic game down in Atlanta. So a number of great things going on as, you know, this whole relationship between the two is really trying to be capitalized. As we know, when Mexico plays here in the United States, you know, it's incredible the draw that they are. And if you can tie into that, good things can certainly happen. St. Louis was awarded a franchise, and they're going to be coming into Major League Soccer. So that is a great soccer city, a soccer city with a tremendous amount of tradition, one that goes way, way back. And, you know, before soccer infiltrated the suburbs, it was a game played by immigrants around cities. St. Louis, I learned my soccer you know, on the fringes of Manhattan in places like Kearny, New Jersey, Harrison, New Jersey, Bayonne, because I was fortunate. I crossed paths with the coach, and I love this man to this day. He passed away in the last 2 years, Tom McDonald from Kearny, New Jersey. He was my coach, took a bunch of suburban kids, and then took us into these environments and toughened us up to go along with all his great coaching and evaluation he put on technically with the ball. So for all you that are out there, the environment also has to change. Environment is a teacher as well. And that's why, you know, you try to get top youth players playing in a men's league like the HFA here in Houston. You have to do different things in order, you know, it's not just some coach. So if you ever have a coach who just tells you it's all about him and there's an ego, you got problems. And we have to be careful of that as well. 713-780-3776. By the way, our show in Austin, our Soccer Matters version, is every Sunday, 12 to 1. Tune into that. This Sunday, I've got Tyson Wall, who's heading up their youth academy. He's the managing guy overseeing all of that. And they're starting off very slowly, and they're going to try to ease their way into the market with an under-14 team. But their future, much like the Dynamo, they want it dependent upon homegrown. That's an interesting interview that will take place up there. And then we'll have John Walker again coming up in the second hour to start it. We'll also have Dave Yarno, the Dynamo manager, who I've got tons of respect for. And then we'll also have on Christian Ramirez to talk about him and, you know, what happens to a professional athlete when they're traded and they have to leave market. And he's going from one of the hottest markets in Major League Soccer. Now, don't forget, selling out every night. You're in the City of Angels. Will Ferrell's coming to your games. And now, all of a sudden, you're coming to a team that's fighting to try to get into the playoffs in a market where we're trying to kind of get things fire started down here. All right, let's go back down to BBVA Stadium. Victor Ariza. Victor, I know it's game on right now. Give us an update.
Yeah, well, we are 1-0 Tigres. It's not him alive. Actually, we're just in the midst of a water break. I know how much Eddie Robinson loves those. But, well, listen to this. Listen to some mariachi.
Victor, come back. There's no mariachi.
Glenn, we got tragos llamados licor playing.
What? Say that again? You're having too much fun down there, Victor.
We have Amargo Licor playing and over the stadium. I'm telling you, it's a big party down here.
It's a spectacle. Victor, do me a favor. Can you take some shots of the stadium? Can you post them on Soccer Matters and so that we can, for those that aren't down there tonight, they can get a glimpse of what the environment looks like?
Of course. We have some content up on Twitter at Soccer Matters PD. We'll have some on Instagram. If you follow us on Instagram and you check out Instagram stories, we have some videos on there that also translates over to Facebook. So if you go to the Facebook page, check out the Facebook stories, you'll see some content there as well. Amazing night.
Victor,
Tigres 1-0 though.
Tigres is up 1-0 over Club America. Victor, thank you very much for the update. We appreciate it. All right, that's Victor Ariza of Soccer Matters. And right now we've got Dynamo President John Walker on the line now, and he is also down at BBVA Stadium. John, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
You bet, Glenn. How are you?
I'm doing great. I know there's a big celebration going on down at BBVA Stadium. I know you're there as well. Just give us your impression of it.
Big celebration both inside and out. I can tell you people are still coming in. They've been partying out here for a couple hours, and the crowd's pretty whipped up into a frenzy. There's been some good action, and as your previous caller just stated, it's 1-0 Tigres on an own goal. So been pretty good night so far.
Now, I know that there's been a lot of challenges for you since coming here, and I mean, this was a real whirlwind for you coming in and having to try to figure things out. You're getting some new employees. A lot of things are happening. There's a new coach. When you look at a game like tonight, and I know you've been to a number of these now, what are some of the takeaways from you? And listen, the one thing I love about you, you're not trying to pretend to be a soccer guy. You are a guy that has said very vividly and very openly that you're trying to learn about it. And we also know you have a tremendous amount of experience in sports. So that's the flip side of it from the NBA. But what is the big takeaway from you down there when you're looking at these two teams?
Well, first and foremost, I'm not going to be the new guy forever, so we're going to have to put that to bed at some point. But you're right, I still am learning the game and learning the nuances. And I tell you, just the fan reaction and the following that these teams have from Liga MX, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, we've had a handful of matches here, some involving the Dynamo since I've been here, that have paired teams, coming from that league, and the support is unbelievable, and it's almost like it doesn't matter whether the team is at the top of the table or not. These folks are following their club because they love them, and they're wearing all the gear, they're yelling the entire match, and they wouldn't miss it, and that's what we're trying to build with the Dynamo, to have that sort of following, that it doesn't matter, rain or shine, whether we're at the top of the table or the bottom of the table, that people want to come out and they want to support their hometown team. And, we've got a little bit of that. In fact, I'd say we've got a good bit of that. We're averaging 14 or 15,000 folks at every match. And although that's not sold out, it's, it's not at the bottom of the league either. And the place is half, more than half full. So I see our glass as more than half full and not half empty. And I think, a match like tonight just gives us optimism that there are enough folks, certainly in this city, that love the game that if we can just get them to start to love their hometown team in addition to their club team from Mexico or wherever, we can get this place jumping for Dynamo games too, and that's what we're looking for.
Dynamo President John Walker joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. So how do we engage these fans of Liga MX? Because in the past I've heard that's unattainable, and I don't believe that for a New York minute. How do the Dynamo become the second favorite team of Club America fans in Tigres, and do you have a strategy? Who do you speak to about engaging the Liga MX fan?
Well, we're doing several things. I mean, one is nights like tonight give us an opportunity to, you know, showcase our venue, showcase the experience here at BBVA Stadium, get to, you know, interact with these folks on the concourse. But we'll follow up with them after the matches too, and we'll make offers to them to come out to a Dynamo match here towards the end of the season. Try and do some direct hand-to-hand conversion of them. We've also met with the supporter groups from several clubs around the globe, some of which are in Mexico, to try and encourage the supporter groups to come out and give us a hand too, and join our supporters in becoming more of a supporters alliance, which is one of the things that they've done very successfully in LAFC. And so, between those two things, we think those are some pretty good tactics. And then I think it's really a grassroots thing, Glenn. I mean, we have to get out in the community more than we have been, and address the fan bases of these other clubs, and in their neighborhoods and on their fields in their neighborhoods. With the youth soccer and those kinds of things. And it'll take some time to build that, but I feel really bullish about our strategy. And as you mentioned, we've added some new folks to our staff here over the last 6 months or so. And some of these ideas are actually coming to fruition, and we have some things actually happening, and then we have more, in the works over the next 12 to 18 months.
Can you give us a little glimmer into what some of those things are potentially?
Well, certainly, as I mentioned, the grassroots effort, we're mobilizing folks from our staff, folks from our season ticket member group, folks within the youth soccer community to, get more engaged. And, we're developing this giant calendar of all of the events that occur in Houston over the course of 365 days. And it's an enormous calendar. And we're trying to be strategic in picking out events where it makes sense for us to be there, be visible, engage with people, maybe hand out some swag, and just, become part of the fabric of the city. And it's such a large, area from a square miles perspective, and so many people that it would be almost impossible to touch all of them, but we definitely need to get in front of a lot more than we have over the last several years.
So to be fair, what you're saying is the Dynamo have not done enough of that in the last couple of years.
Well, I think, and you and I've talked about this before, I think, it became more a question of let's try and sell tickets. And it became very transactional versus relationship building. And in order to develop the kind of fan bases that these clubs have here tonight in the stadium, and let's take it to, American baseball, Cubs fans. There's generations of Cub fans. And so, next season will be our 15th season. So we haven't quite developed multiple generations of fans, but we're starting to get into a second generation, which we think will be additive. But the fans of these clubs, they love their club regardless. And, that's because they've grown up with them. They felt engaged with them. They really take the whole, being part of a club is something that's very unique. And we're trying to create that as well.
John, what these fans down there tonight are doing, and I've been to many a Mexican League game here and in Mexico as well, in a number of different stadiums, from Mexico City to Guadalajara to Monterrey. There is a culture, and there are these small, subtle, interesting things, and it is a party down there. So, for instance, tonight on Twitter, one of our fans of the show said, you can't wear a luchador mask at a Dynamo game. Is that true, and is that something that could be changed? And flares, not flares, but controlled flares and things like that make the Mexican soccer experience in Liga MX kind of celebratory. could fans come in with the luchador mask? Because that is a deeply embedded piece of the soccer culture in Mexico.
Yeah, it is. And I hear you loud and clear. You know, we've heard a lot from our fans on similar things relative to, you know, rituals that people have and ways to celebrate and those kinds of things. And, you know, some of what it is that we do is driven, you know, purely by fan safety. And it's not necessarily just the Dynamo who are, sort of enforcing some of these new rules. Like, for instance, the streamers this year was a big thing. That came directly from MLS. It came as a result of two things. One, fan safety, because anything that's flying through the air has the potential to hit somebody in a way that it wasn't intended and create a serious injury. That's why they put up the nets at the baseball parks, you know, quite honestly, from the foul balls. But I think, you know, also there's this notion that to keep the play, continual, what was happening was the streamers were becoming such a big part of the celebration in some of the markets that it would stop the play, and it would, you know, it would interrupt the broadcast, it would stop the play, it would take them quite a while to get everything picked up, and then as soon as they get things picked up, more stuff would be thrown, and so it became, you know, more of a continuity of play as well as the safety issue, and those things come directly from MLS, and we really don't have a lot of wiggle room on some of those things. With the masks in particular, which is what you ask about, yes. I'm not sure about that one. Next time we talk, I'll try and have the answer for that one, because I'm not familiar with where that sort of rule or policy initiated. But what I would tell you is, from a PK, Club America has tied the match 1-1.
Ah, very nice. A live update from John Walker, the Dynamo president. John, you didn't know that in your contract there's a thing that says that whenever there's an international game, you have to go down and be a reporter for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
I'm happy to do it. Anything I can do for you, Glenn, you let me know.
I love that. And speaking of those supporters groups, they were at the Houston Community Soccer Dinner, and yeah, I like that idea, and increasing those groups. Was there ever any thought of bringing them back down behind the goal? Because I never understood the move to put them up higher. I never understood that, because it just took them away. They were always in the shots of all the great goals that Dynamo would score going towards the tunnel. They were also very inspirational to the Dynamo, because the Dynamo would want to attack that goal in the second half. Is there any thought of bringing them back down there? Because them down there made it more of a soccer environment to me.
Right. Well, not on the south end, which is the tunnel end, because that's now been converted into what is our pitside patio, as well as there's another area down there called the Vault, which is a sort of a little restaurant and bar area. But where the supporters are currently on the north end, and they hang out at the Bud Light bar and above it, there are several rows right below those that are right behind that goal on that north end. And the plan for next season is to open that up to supporters as part of this new program to build more of an alliance, versus just having EB and Texie and Army, who do a great job, but we know they need some support. And so that's why we're reaching out to some of the other supporter groups here in town of some other global clubs to help fill in those areas and make it a much larger alliance of supporters. And that will include those areas right behind the goal on the north end.
Dynamo president John Walker joining us. He's currently down at BBVA Stadium tonight, sold out Club America and Tigres in the League's Cup. And you were very kind. You came down on the day Bayern Munich was playing Real Madrid. You came down to Advantage BMW Midtown. You sat in there. You took questions. I love your visibility. I love the fact that you're willing to do all this. Will fans get, and I know I've asked you this before, but I'm going to ask it again because I know they're asking it. Would you do a forum, you and Matt Jordan, with fans more extensive in the future at some point, or maybe even with ownership?
We will. We absolutely will. We have something on the books already. I believe it's for the October 6th match here, the final one of the season versus the Galaxy. We're having a bit of a town hall. I think that one is just me, which I know is disappointing for a lot of people. But
no, I don't think so.
At, At some point, Matt and I will do the same, likely in the off season. We'll find a place where we can gather folks and invite them down just to ask questions and probably give them a state of the Dynamo in the off season and the things that are happening. And I can tell you that there's an awful lot going on behind the scenes, and it's not appropriate for me to necessarily share all of that because, you know, things are still in motion and there are a lot of what ifs and those kinds of things. But, you know, fans should know that, you know, we're not resting on where we are. You know, we know that this team and this club and the city deserves better, not only, you know, on the pitch, but in terms of, as I mentioned, just reaching out and creating an environment where people, you know, want to be a part of the club. And so, you know, that's what we work on every day. That's what we're focused on every day. Ownership is actually very involved. I know there's some questions about that, but I'm on the phone with those guys several times a day. And they are as interested in growing this as everybody, all of your listeners are.
What is the biggest thing you're hearing from ownership right now?
Well, it's, you know, it's,
I mean, I'm
things.
Sure it's a lot of things, but what would be maybe what's the main theme you're hearing from ownership?
Yeah, you know, I think people feel, and ownership feels like this club is much better than the record over the last couple of months, and that's what led to us making a change in coaches. And you know, nobody is trying to pretend that you know, we can fix our attendance woes just through, you know, the fan experience and pricing and those kinds of things. We have to be a good and competitive team, and the team hasn't been over the last couple of months. That said, I think, you know, as you saw from the first couple of months of this season, this team was really good. They were high-flying, high-scoring, and very attacking, and got out to the best start, as has been widely, you know, published. And then they just hit a drought, and they got in a drought, and they couldn't pull themselves out. And so we made a coaching change to try and create a new spark and try and get these guys back on the winning way. And, you know, just three more wins somewhere in that drought, and we'd be in second place. So they're really not that far off. They just need to get back to feeling good about the team and feeling confident in themselves and having fun. Because for a while there, it didn't look like they were having much fun.
Yeah, and I mean, the fans are intelligent. And believe me, I've gotten to know the intensity and the intelligence of the fan. When the coaching change was made, there were all kinds of these phone lines were blowing up because, you know, and at the end of the night, I just said, wow, well, we were just reminded that we are passionate about the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah.
That said, they saw this happen last year, and they've seen it happen for a second consecutive year. They've also seen the Dynamo in 2017 win at home with a very attractive product, win 10 games at home, and the needle of attendance really didn't change. And this is obviously prior to your hiring. But, you know, it isn't just winning alone, and they know that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I think – you know, people grow impatient. Our ownership grows impatient. Our fans grow impatient when, you know, when you're in a situation like we are now. And it is rare that can turn around, you know, with one transaction, you know, with one coaching change or one player acquisition. It's rare that it can just flip and suddenly the place is sold out and we're winning every match. It takes time to build that, and it takes some patience. And I think, you know, more than that, I think we have to create sustained success. And so it's, you know, we were in the Western Conference Finals in 2017, as you mentioned, but the couple years prior to that, we're not in the playoffs. And last year, we're not in the playoffs. And so although that was a bright moment and, you know, people celebrated that and they should have, that didn't create the kind of, you know, sustained success that I think really, really empowers a fan base to want to get around it because they get excited every year because they feel like their team's a contender every year. And that's where we need to get.
Yeah, I mean, even in the Dominic Kinnear years, the last 2 years, no playoffs, and Owen Coyle, no playoffs. And Wilmer came in, got them to the final and no playoffs last year. So, you know, they do, I do get the sense that they have been fatigued. And I think that makes it even more challenging to revive. Is that fair to say?
No question. No question. It's not easy. But, you know, there's like they say, there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying here either. It's like we just have to get after it. We have to turn things around. We have to try some new things. We have to be more accessible to the fans. You know, I know Matt's looking at the roster. We have Davey in here now as our interim coach, and we have every expectation that the team is going to respond like they did in the second half the other night. Come out and win some matches here towards the end of the season. And, you know, if it gets us into the playoffs, that'll be great. I think that was everybody's expectation going in. If it doesn't, you know, then we go on from there. But, you know, we haven't quit, that's for sure.
John Walker joining us, the president of the Houston Dynamo. And, John, we really do appreciate you coming on. I think this openness and willingness and transparency that you bring is incredibly refreshing. Now, look, I understand there are coaches that are very different. Wilmer was different, likes to kind of keep it secret around his team and things like that. I always found that a little bit strange based on the fact that, you know, attendance was down. Should we expect in the future now more openness from that standpoint? And, you know, Davey obviously is a very magnetic personality, is a tremendous interview. We have him on the show tonight as well. Do we expect more transparency and openness? Because, you know, the fans don't really want to hear that, hey, we had the best ever start. Honestly, that doesn't mean anything to them because of where we sit now.
Yeah, you bet. And the answer to your question is yes. You know, we've already met with Davey and the rest of the staff, and they agree to a man that being more accessible is something that, as a club, we really need to do. And we're putting together some policies around it because it can't just be a free-for-all. But we will definitely be more open and more accessible. I would say we'll probably do some testing of some things here during the last games of the season, and then put together a more concrete policy on player availability and media accessibility and all those things for next season. But you can bet it's something we've already met about with Davey and his staff just in the last couple days.
Well, John, before I let you go, anything you want to say to the Dynamo fans that will be listening into this and then listening to it on podcast at podcastarena.com?
Well, we have several matches left, and you know, we are still in the playoff hunt. The team's going to be playing hard. The training sessions have been really spirited. The guys are feeling a little more free. And with a couple of wins, we can put ourselves right back in this thing. So, you know, just stay with us. We have three home matches left, and come out to BBVA Stadium and support us.
John, thank you so much for your time. We'll let you get back to the game. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you on again when you would like to come back on the program.
You bet, Glenn. Thanks so much.
All right. That's John Walker, president of the Dynamos. Houston Dynamo, and great stuff from him there. He's down at BBVA Stadium. I think the last score update we had was 1-1. Not only is Tri-Eagle Energy bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, they're giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. Now, do you want to learn more? Text POWER, P-O-W-E-R, to 77177. Sign up for any Power to Win electricity plan and receive 2 Dynamo game tickets, 2 T-shirts, and then you're automatically enrolled to enter free electricity for a year. That's each time the Dynamo win a home game. And each time the Dynamo win a home game, Tri-Eagle Energy will draw a lucky fan or customer to win a free year of electricity. So with a couple of home games left, you can still win that free year of electricity. Again, you can also enter to win by texting POWER, P-O-W-E-R, to 77177. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com to learn more. P-U-C-T hashtag 10064. Are we up in a hard break here, Aaron? Tell you what, Aaron. How about we give a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Minnesota away on the heels of our interview with Dynamo President John Walker? 713-780-3776. I'm going to go with the number 5 again. That was my playing number. I love that number. The number 5 caller at 713-780-3776. I think that was a little bit too much information, wasn't it, Aaron? No? I think so. All right, we'll take a break here. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, we thank you for your support and getting this on the air. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to take care of you 24/7 nights and weekends. Now, you might get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant or refinery. You might drive an 18-wheel. You might have a problem there. Daspit Law Firm is going to have you covered. They'll work 24/7 for you nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. And my good friends at Advantage BMW, get down there. I'm in an X5 now. It is an incredible machine. Justin took me through sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. The Midtown location. This is the one that loves the game of soccer. Go see Philip. Go see Justin. They love soccer. They love football.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to this script a little bit. Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Songs make you think of things, don't they? Like you can go back to certain things. That's the script. And we welcome you back here to the show. A couple of things going on here. Tigres and Club American continue down at BBVA Stadium. A quick word here for Kings Court. 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors down there. I'm sure it's going to be packed with fans after the game tonight. British and Indian style cuisine is down there. Great food, staff, selection, and bar and cocktails. Kings Court, Houston, TX.com. So get down to Kings Court. Also, again, a big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors, Advantage BMW Midtown. Thank you, guys. I can't tell you how much I'm loving the new vehicle and how much I appreciate the support of this show. And then, of course, Cube 57, the home of the Houston Dynamo. Join Andrew Robinson, Sidhu Brabano, myself. We're proud to bring you Dynamo games on Cube 57. Now, I went long with Dynamo president John Walker. So by going long, that means we're going to move the Christian Ramirez interview. We're going to move that into a bonus Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 interview. You can get that interview at podcastarena.com after this show tonight. It's a tremendous interview. Coming up now, we have Davey Arno, the manager of the Houston Dynamo. All right, we roll on here with Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. For those of you who came out to this Houston soccer community dinner, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. All of us that were involved in the event, the esteemed Tom Clare and everybody, for anybody who bought a ticket, we thank you so much. Again, we remind you here, Kings Court, the place to be in Edo, 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Stadium, 13 monitors down there for all your soccer-watching desires. Place to go before Dynamo games, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people who are down there tonight ahead of Club America and Tigres. All right, let's get right into it. Interim manager Davey Arno joining us right now. Davey, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn.
Always good. So, you know, you were cool, calm, and collected for a guy handling his first job as the head man this past weekend. Tell us about the emotion that you felt walking out onto this field. You've done it as a player for so long. You've put in your time as an assistant. What did it feel like?
Yeah, it was a feeling that I've obviously never had before, and it felt special. It did. It was it's obviously a great opportunity and one that I'm thankful for. And you know, it felt different for me personally. You know, from being an assistant coach to now being being in charge now, there was definitely a different feeling walking out onto the field for me personally. And you know, I tried to enjoy it, and you know, I was happy obviously that we came back to get the result. 3 points would have been nicer, but our response in the second half made the experience even better.
So what do you tell the team in the locker room after this game? I mean, obviously it's a great comeback. It's a 2-2 draw. You score a couple of great goals. You could have won the game. What do you say to the team in the locker room after? Because you're still sort of establishing a rapport as a head coach.
Yeah, I told them, you know, to be honest, I told them how proud I was of them. I mean, I could see in the locker room after the game, they were obviously disappointed that we didn't get the third goal. They were disappointed that we didn't get the 3 points. And, you know, I told them I was proud of their performance. And even in the first half, being down 2-0, I don't think anybody felt that the performance was bad. We had two mental lapses that they punished. They punished us on both of them. But the way we responded was great. And I just don't know how proud I was of them, how much belief we as a club and, you know, myself personally, the whole staff, how much belief we have in them. And let them know that if we keep, you know, if we keep preparing the way that we did and we keep performing with that kind of mentality and character and all the things that we talked about going into the game, if they keep doing it, we believe the results are going to come.
You seem to have, you know, kind of simplified things. You mentioned you wanted to simplify people's roles, that you can't do too much too fast, obviously. That seemed to be a pullback to the lineup that has been successful earlier in the year at home.
Yeah, you know, I've said it, and I've said it several times now. We can't completely reinvent. To think we can completely reinvent who we are and do something completely different in 3 days or a week or 2 weeks is not realistic. We're in a different situation right now. We're not in a 6-week preseason. So, you know, what we tried to do last week, yeah, we went back to kind of being who we were earlier in the year, and tried to make roles and responsibilities not only simple but very clear. So we're all on the same page and we're all have an understanding of what our roles and responsibilities are within that way that we're playing, and then to go out and put it to action during the game, which for the most part we did.
As coaches, we all, you know, and even as a youth coach for me, I took things I learned from my youth coach. That far back it went. I'm assuming, because when you left West Texas A&M, you're under Bob Gansler, and some of these things you're mentioning sounds very familiar to Bob Gansler. What did you take from Bob, and how have you added that to sort of your take on the game now? Because Bob Gansler, the legendary coach when you were at the Kansas City Wizards, I'm sure had a big influence on you.
Yeah, Coach Gansler had a huge influence on me. He definitely did. There's some things that some of his ideas about the game and what it should look like. And look, we all have slightly different versions of what we think the game should look like or what we want it to look like. But, you know, Bob Gansler, he liked to reinforce doing the simple things perfectly every time. And I have that saying echoing through my head. I always have since I heard him say it almost daily when I played for him. You know, it's something that we kind of try and reinforce this week, doing the simple things really well. So Bob Gansler, I could go on for a few hours about all the things that he taught me about the game, but, you know, you take these ideas from people that you played under, people that you coached under, and you try and kind of mesh them with what you believe, and you take the best from everybody and, try and put it in your own sort of style, which is what I've tried to do.
Yeah. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention your college coach also, Butch Laufer at West Texas A&M. What did you take from Butch?
Yeah, I've talked to Butch probably 3 or 4 times in the past week. I trust Butch a ton, and you know, Butch was the first coach that I played under where, you know, he actually explained to me what the game should look like. And that's not a knock on any coach I had before, but Butch's understanding and knowledge of the game is at the highest level. And a lot of people don't know this, but Butch is. I think he's one of only a handful of coaches in our country, period, that has he has a UEFA Pro license. He, mm-hmm. David Moyes is a friend of his who they talk soccer, and so Butch has a ton of knowledge from a bunch of different places. But Butch's understanding of the game and what it should look like, I took a lot from. And again, another guy that I trust his opinion.
Talking to Dynamo interim manager Dave Yarno. Now, I'd be remiss not to ask this because the fans have been certainly probing me on this. So it's not for me to answer. It's for you to answer. How badly do you want the head coaching job here in Houston?
Well, I mean, it's when you start coaching, or when I started coaching, it was an ultimate goal of mine was to become a head coach. It's what I wanted when I set out on this kind of coaching journey that I've been on. You're not sure when it's going to come or how it's going to come. And it's come now. But, you know, to be honest with you, Glenn, I'm enjoying it in the moment. I understand there's 8 more games. I understand that I am the interim currently. And my role right now is not to, as much as people want to ask about it. And my role right now is not to think about that. I answered a question similarly yesterday. I feel like if I spend any energy on worrying about what happens after these 8 games, then I could be missing something, or there's something else that I could be worrying about or doing in the moment that's going to help us win right now. And, if we go about things the right way, and, you know, if I go about my business the best way that I can and prepare the team the best way that I can right now, the rest of the stuff, what's going to happen will happen. And it's not going to change the work that I'm trying to currently do.
Yeah, because that's a difficult kind of conundrum. And you're basically saying you're coaching this team right here, right now, trying to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the goal. And, you know, to do that, you fully need to concentrate on what you're doing now. Today we're doing video and talking about the previous game, and we're planning for Dallas. We're already in the process of planning exactly what we want to do for Dallas, and we're trying to build training sessions for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That puts us in a good way to win the game on Saturday. So to be honest with you, Glenn, I don't have time for too many more thoughts than that. I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fully consumed. It's fully consumed my thoughts and what I'm trying to do, and I'm pouring everything that I can into that, as is the rest of the staff.
He's Davey Arno, right now the interim manager of the Houston Dynamo. They'll take on FC Dallas. It's a rivalry week in Major League Soccer. What jumps out to you about the opponent this weekend? Obviously, they're youthful, but what else jumps out to you?
Yeah, they're youthful. They take risks at times in the way that they attack. They're dangerous on the break. Barrios is, we don't have to say too much about him. We understand how dangerous he is. They're a good passing team. They enjoy the ball. They enjoy possession. We're taking a deeper dive today and tomorrow to kind of come up with a game plan and what we think is going to give us the best chance to win on Saturday. But they're a good team. They're a good team, and they're an exciting team, I think, to watch and can be tough to play against, especially at their place.
How motivated are your guys? And, you know, when you step into this role, I'm sure they're very motivated. That was really kind of a dumb question. But when you step into this role, there's no doubt you know this team very well. You know the personalities. You know the guys that maybe are a little down in the dumps because they're not in the picture under Wilmer Cabrera and the former manager. But now you get them. Have you seen a reaction in some of those guys that there's more possibility for them now that there has been a coaching change?
Yeah, I think that's natural. Anytime there's a change, you're going to, there's going to be that initial, most guys feel like they can make a new sort of first impression. And, the response from the entire group, to be honest with you, has been positive. The attitude and the mentality has been really good. They're taking on what we're talking about in terms of how we're trying to play and the way that we're trying to go about things now. They've all been really receptive and positive to the information. Is there going to always be guys who are unhappy that they're left out? Or that's normal. That's part of any team. You're going to get that no matter where you go, no matter what club you're a part of. Guys who are not involved aren't going to be fully happy, and it's understandable. I was a player. I was there. Anybody who's played the game at any level, you understand that decisions don't always go your way. But, what I think is important, even that I feel that with our group, even when the decisions aren't going their way, the response from everybody has been fantastic. And it's important, Glenn. It's not just your team on the field that gets you wins. And I don't want to sound cliche, but the last man on your roster is just as important. We're going to try and focus on everybody and really get this buy-in from the whole group to have us all pulling in the same direction.
Last one before we let you go. And again, Davey, we thank you very much. With Christian Ramirez here and Mauro Manotas, you reap some very good benefits with those changes you made in the second half, bringing on Tommy McNamara and Christian Ramirez. Are you thinking about in the future how Ramirez and Manotas can play together?
Yeah, for sure. We're considering it as we are a few different things. But the good thing is, for me, the good thing is that we have the option. We have some flexibility in how we can now play. And I think we've seen now Christian and Mauro in the, on the field at the same time twice now, and both times has been really positive. Like you said, I thought Christian came in and he changed the game right away in a good way for us, as did Tommy McNamara. And he provides something different. So we're going to look at all the possibilities. And I think the good thing is I'm going to be left with some tough choices to make in terms of not only how we play, but who plays in the positions that we need to fill. And it's not a bad position to be in. And listen, we're happy with where we're at in terms of our players, and hopefully we'll be ready to go on Saturday.
Yeah, that's called a champagne problem, right?
On Sunday.
Don't worry. I know you're going to be where you need to be on Sunday. I'm not worried about that. Trust me.
Right.
It's a hard time for me figuring out where I am half the time. So, listen, best of luck. There's a lot of people pulling for you, including myself. I know the type of man you are. So, keep up the good work, and thank you again for coming on the program.
Thanks very much, Glenn. Enjoy being on the show. Thank you.
All right. That's interim manager Davey Arno. We really wishing him great luck against FC Dallas and the Dynamo this Sunday, rivalry week in Major League Soccer. Quick word here for Cube 57. It's the home of your Houston Dynamo on television, although we don't have the game this Sunday. Join Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, myself. Bobby Boswell has been pinch hitting in there as well. We're proud to bring you commentary of the Houston Dynamo on Cube 57. And that'll do it tonight here. My thanks to Aaron Raybould, standing in producing-wise for Andrew Carlson. Also Victor Ariza down at BBVA Stadium. All of our guests here tonight on the show, including Christian. And a big thank you to our presenting sponsors, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Facebook Soccer Matters, Twitter Glenn Davis Sock, Instagram Glenn Davis Sock. For everybody who listened in tonight, don't forget the podcast at podcastarena.com and iTunes. That does it for me tonight. Soccer Matters, out.